This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Game day. Bulldogs and Collingwood. Big Friday night at Marvel Stadium, but it's been a massive 24 hours in news in the AFL. Lots to discuss this morning. Gil McLachlan spoke this morning, covered issues like AFLW, which will, according to Gil, officially start in August. He also supported the free-to-air component of the broadcast deal. So if you're worried the next broadcast deal is going to be all streaming, Gil clearly explained that three and a half or four games will still be on free-to-air, and that's as per the government rules as well. So Gil McLachlan was interesting this morning on a number of topics, including those, and I'll get to James Hurd and the AFL's position on that shortly as well. But today, we want to discuss Alistair Clarkson. Spoke last night on Fox Footy. James Hurd, the grand final. I spoke one-on-one yesterday as well with Brad Scott, the footy boss, and some of the trade landscape is heating up now into round nine as well. So lots to discuss today. I'll start with Clarko. Spoke with Kath Lachlan and Nick Riewoldt on the panel of Fox Footy last night. What a night to have him on. How's the timing of that? Clarko's position regarding coaching broadly was this.
To be honest, there's 18 and hopefully pretty soon 19 clubs in the competition that I wouldn't hesitate to coach if... Because I think every club in the competition, given the right personnel and the right playing group, have got the capability of winning an AFL premiership.
The hosts drilled down. That was a pretty broad answer. And it turned out this is Clarko's motivating factor if he comes back to coaching. The point being he doesn't have to unless he could win a flag.
It'll pretty much come down to one thing for mine. I'd want to get back involved because I want to win it. And if I didn't feel like I was the bloke that could take that club or that group of players to win it, then I'll just stay out of the game.
And a development on this situation this morning involved Gil McLachlan. He spoke and explained that in the AFL's view, the Giants or the expansion clubs, for example, the Suns, are still bound by footy's soft cap. What does that mean? It means, like all the other clubs, they can only spend a certain amount on the football department. I guess there was a view in football, speaking broadly, that perhaps GWS or the Suns could offer Clarko a godfather contract, $1.5 or $2 million. They're important expansion markets, and arguably they could argue a certain portion of Clarko's money should sit outside the soft cap because Clarko could develop the game in Western Sydney or develop the game in Southeast Queensland. I'm sure he'd do a very, very good job of that. But according to Gil McLachlan this morning, and I've actually spoken to Gil today as well, the clubs are bound, all the clubs, including those expansion clubs, are bound by the soft cap, i.e. they couldn't pay an extraordinary amount that sits outside that in a bid to lure Alistair Clarkson. What does that mean practically? Well, it means that there's already a couple of coaches that are earning $1.2 million a year, which, look, I assume would satisfy Clarko. I can't speak for his negotiating prowess, and I'm not suggesting he's motivated by money, but that's sort of what those clubs would, I guess, have to pay maximum. Having said that, it's up to the coaches to how many assistants and how you distribute that money throughout the football department. Those clubs that pay that sort of money have less other coaches. You can debate the merits of that. I know Adam Simpson's handsomely paid at West Coast. Is that working? Well, one of the factors, perhaps it isn't. But anyway, that's a separate discussion. But the point is that the Giants and the Suns would be bound, according to the AFL, by the soft cap. The other factor in all this is the soft cap could increase later this year when Gil moves to negotiate that particular aspect of the club distribution issue, and that could weigh into Clarko's favour. So I get the strong impression through his interview last night that Clarko won't rush into a decision regarding which club he wants to go to, if he wants to go to a club, and clearly the Giants are going to inquire. Dave Matthews confirmed that yesterday, the CEO, but I don't think there'll be a massive rush on that from Clarko's perspective just yet. Other options might open up, but that is a significant statement from the AFL regarding the soft cap this morning.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
James Hurd is definitely a factor in the Giants' decision. James is currently in London on business. I understand that he could have an expanded role under Mark McVay at the Giants, where James already has a leadership role this season. There's an interesting Essendon link actually going on at the Giants at the moment. John Quinn, the Giants and the Bombers' former fitness boss, Craig Jennings, he's their defensive coach, as well as Mark McVay, are all at the Giants and playing a role in this particular season. James already, I've explained on this podcast before, I spoke to Tim Taranto earlier in the year, it comes across my phone regularly, has a strong connection with the Giants players, and I'm told has been meeting regularly and gets on well with Jimmy Bartel, who's a bit of a kingmaker in this process. He's the Giants football director and will have quite a persuasive say in what's going on. I've reported on this podcast before, a previous interview I've done with Gil McLachlan, that the AFL wouldn't stand in the way of James coaching again. He's already coaching in a sense, so it's not really a huge bridge if he was to go from what he's doing to becoming a senior coach necessarily. But Gil McLachlan re-emphasised that on radio this morning as well. The AFL re-emphasising that they have absolutely no reason, according to Gil McLachlan, why not. So James Hurd firmly a possibility in the Giants discussion. Absolutely. And the club indeed confirmed that, at least as a discussion point yesterday. A couple of dark horses, if you like, in the race for the Giants job. Don Pike remains highly rated at the Sydney Swans. I know they had the hiccup concerning the camp, which is a whole separate discussion at Adelaide, but Don lives in Sydney, in the eastern suburbs, and I'm sure would be a very good senior coach. Other sources of mine have linked him to potentially running West Coast when Trevor Nisbet retires one day. So anyway, Don Pike, you'd want to sound him out, I would have thought. An interesting curveball, I'll throw it up. I'm sure I'll get some interesting feedback, would be Ken Hinckley. Now, Ken's been at Port since 2013. They're going right this season, just trying to get their season back on the track. But he's in that crucial 10 or 11 year mark. He's a highly regarded coach. I think there's a connection there back with Jimmy Bartel through the Geelong days as well. So it'll be interesting to see if they sound out Ken Hinckley. Could be a way of, I think he's 55, rejuvenating his career. A win for Ken and a potential win for the Giants. Maybe it would suit Port. So maybe that'll become a discussion point as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do it in some pretty secret meetings, if perhaps they sounded out Ken at some point in time as well. These are all discussion points at this stage. That's the latest on James Hurd and a couple of, more left field candidates for the vacant Giants job.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
The AFL Commission will meet next Wednesday. There's a strong push for the grand final, an expectation now that the grand final this year's will be twilight at the MCG. That makes absolutely perfect sense to me. The commission, at least officially, will decide next Wednesday. Gil McLachlan ruled out a night grand final this morning, but officially, from the official position of the AFL, as it'll be in the afternoon or twilight. But I think this is pretty cut and dry for the following reasons. At the moment, the AFL has gone to the broadcasters, including the American companies, asking for a record amount of money. That money is to go to the AFLW, the pay increase for the men, the clubs are lining up for the money, the coaches are lining up for an increase. Tasmania will require money, and it's been well documented through the Herald Sun's journalism in recent weeks that community umpiring, for example, requires a lot of money. There's a whole host of people lining up for the AFL's money. The way the AFL is going to get that is from the broadcasters, and the most commercial broadcast model, that is the most money, comes in through a twilight grand final. So it would be crazy, in my view, this is my view, of the AFL to go to market seeking a record amount of money and then effectively stage a inferior television product this year. You want your best on display. If the AFL went for an afternoon grand final slot, Peter Vlandis, who runs as the chairman of the NRL, he'd be rubbing his hands together because on aggregate, the NRL grand final would outrate the AFL grand final. It's not a massive consideration, but it's a free kick for NRL. Again, I don't think anyone wants to do that. The time slot's important as well because at the moment, a 2:30 grand final, the national competition goes back into Adelaide at 1:30, the Western markets, Western Australia back at 12:30. That's too early. A twilight fixture suits most broadly the national footprint of the AFL. Plus, we're not talking about a huge change here. I mean, a twilight grand final at, say, 4 o'clock would only, in my view, be an hour later, for example, than when Anzac Day starts, or even 45 minutes. So, look, I know there's tradition. I like going to the grand final at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon, but there's big commercial and practical considerations behind all this. There's lots of people lining up for this increase or expected increase in the TV rights, and I think we'll see, I'm quite firm, that I think we'll see a twilight grand final. Now, it ruffles a few feathers. I get the tradition. Overlapping all that, of course, is the fact that Richard Goyder, the Commission Chairman, who's highly influential, has already been on radio, I think the ABC in Western Australia this year, is saying that he supports, in principle, a twilight grand final. So they're the reasons, in my view, they'll opt for a twilight grand final next week, providing the Commission get to it, because apparently, according to Gil today, they've got a lot on their plate.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
And just briefly, I'll whip through a couple today to finish off with. I spoke one-on-one with Brad Scott yesterday. I asked him, he explained there's higher scoring this year. The game, according to the AFL stats, has opened up. It's more free-flowing. That was all very positive. But I did ask him about this medical sub-issue, which I've been following now for a couple of weeks. I know other journalists have been onto it as well. And it will be reviewed, the rule, at the end of the year.
There's medical governance over the top of that. So we will always take the advice of our doctors. And when a medical sub is activated, there's a medical certificate provided to our chief medical officer at the AFL. So we're really comfortable with the medical overlay. That being said, we'll definitely look at the rule at the end of the year. And assess how it's working and if it's achieving what we set out to achieve, which ultimately is to protect players and make sure that we're not putting players at risk. But it's also, you know, really important that we take the pressure off club doctors on game day.
The tram featuring in that interview as well quite prominently. Apologies for that. That was the microphone on the camera. Brad also explained to me that the AFL does check, according to Brad, the players that play the subsequent week after getting checked, after getting subbed out. So the AFL's, I guess, onto that to an extent, but they will review that rule at the end of the year. The bounce also sounds like it's in the gun. It's already not required as mandatory at community level because the AFL need as many community umpires as possible. And I think long-term the bounce, well, it excludes a lot of umpires from the game that can't easily do it. So I get the strong impression that long-term the bounce could be doomed. Anyway, that'll be a discussion point for another day. Trade is heating up. I know Carl Amon's been linked to a lot of clubs this week. Carlton's certainly into him. My understanding is that St Kilda wouldn't be interested at the levels, the money levels being discussed, which is about $650,000 a year. That wraps up a massive news day. Clarko, top of the agenda. Friday night footy tonight. Ginnivan is out for Collingwood. The firm reason regarding that is that there's the flu. He just hasn't been able to get up during the week and indeed train. The Bulldogs have some big players back, including Marcus Bontempelli, particularly for the Bulldogs' top four chances. A massive, massive game at Marvel Stadium. Make sure you listen to Triple M Footy over the weekend. Thanks for joining my podcast this week. It's been a big news week. I'll be back on Monday. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.